But look at Romans chapter number 4 and start there, verse number 1. The Bible tells us, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, Blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Amen to that too. What a blessing. Number 9, "Cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How then was it reckoned, when he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith, which he had, being yet uncircumcised, that he might be the father of" how many? "All them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also. And the father of circumcision to who," I'm sorry, "and the father of circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. For the promise that he should be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if they which are of the law be heirs, faith is made void, and the promise made of none effect. Because the law worketh wrath. Where no law is, there is no transgression." Here's that title line here. "Therefore, it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead, and calleth those things which be not as though they were, who against hope believed in hope, that he might become the father of many nations, according to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone, but that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification." Let's pray real quick before we get started. Heavenly Father, please be with us tonight. Father, I pray that you'd meet with us. Your Holy Spirit would speak to us through your word. Lord, I pray you'd clear my mind of distractions, God. And I do pray, Father, that you would shine through this message tonight, God, that you would strengthen our faith. God, that you would give us, Lord, the faith of Abraham. God, and in every matter of our life and every facet of our Christianity, God, may we be strengthened in our faith to do that which you've called us to do. And Father, I pray tonight you'd be with us again. Holy Spirit, guide and direct the service. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, how many of y'all know that song, "Father Abraham had many sons"? Many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. And I like that line. If you're saved, so let's just praise the Lord. Now, we're not going to go right arm, left arm, and all that tonight, because I'm not going to do that. All right, so, but you can do that if you want to in your own time. Amen. But this is an amazing chapter, and I think you get the tagline throughout this chapter: faith. The faith of Abraham. The faith of Abraham that made it possible for us to even know of Christ. The faith of Abraham that it was counted to him for righteousness, so we could know that by faith the righteousness of God is attained. In other words, salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isn't that a blessing? And it talks about the faith versus works, and that is a valuable topic, but we won't get into that tonight. But of course, I wanted to acknowledge that fact. But faith, Abraham's faith, produced the line that our Savior was born into. Imagine this now, the faith of Abraham, Abraham being willing to just listen to God and do what he said, resulted in a son that had a son that had 12 sons, that had lots of other sons, okay, that of course eventually led to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's interesting and I like about this chapter here is it includes us of the uncircumcision, or the Gentiles, if you will. And we have been brought into the family of God because we've acted upon that faith that he talked about. You see, that faith that produces that in Jesus Christ, that gives us the regeneration of our souls, that we can now, well, we can go to the throne of grace and we can walk with God and we can have that enmity with God completely broken because of that faith. But as believers, you and I are also not just meant to be born into the family of God, but we are also meant to produce spiritual children, if you will, through soul winning, through witnessing. God wants every single one of us to be one that brings people to Christ. And that, of course, is done by faith. You see? Okay, now we have to have the faith, like Brother Wall talked about this morning, and we're going to talk about tonight. We have to have the faith to go out and say, God, I want you to use me however you see fit. I'm going to have faith to go out, but they have to have the faith to believe. Okay, so faith is wrapped out throughout the whole thing here. If you're still in Romans, turn to Romans chapter 10 real quick. I want to just look at this. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 13. If you go soul winning at all, you know this verse by heart. And I love using this verse to wrap up a soul-winning a visit. I love to say to an individual, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And that the truth, amen. Now, what's verse 14 say, though? We got to keep going there. How then shall they call in him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? See, they've got to believe to be saved. But friend, you and I got to believe that God's going to use us if we're going to go out and be used. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. We must have faith. It is a faith. But by faith, as we said before, Abraham brought the Son of Promise into the world. And by faith, more children can be adopted into the family of God. If you and I will have the faith to go and preach the gospel, and they have the faith to believe the gospel, they can be grafted into the family of God. I'd like to point out this. Look at Romans chapter 8 here. Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. Bible says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So again, talking about that adoption, that being brought into the family of God. Okay, now we're going to read some verses here, and we're going to tie this together in just a moment. But I want to tie it all together. Look at Galatians, if you will. Keep your hands there in Romans 4, of course. But look at Galatians. Chapter number 3, if you could. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 24. The Bible says, wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after that faith has come, we are no longer under the schoolmaster, for ye are all the children of God. By what? By faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed. You notice that? And heirs according to the promise. Isn't that beautiful? You see, you and I can be saved, and we can be, as verse number 29, Abraham's seed. We can be a part of that. And so, if we are Abraham's seed through the faith, we must also bring people into that faith. You understand? And if Abraham is the example of this chapter. Abraham's faith in, of course, believing God that he could get the son, believing God that ultimately led, of course, to Christ coming into the world and us being able to know Christ and believe in Christ. And then we need to study Abraham's faith. How did he have such faith? Well, Romans 4 tells us how he did that. We're going to look at a few things that happened and how we can have that kind of faith. Now, this what I want to talk to you tonight here is, now, of course, this includes faith, promise, missions. But I'd be negligent just to say it only includes faith, promise, missions, because it includes faith in every walk of our Christian lives. You know, what are we struggling with today? Faith in God will get you through that. How do you get that faith? You know, maybe you're struggling with your finances in some other way completely different. Faith can help us with that. Maybe you're here today and you're struggling with the understanding if you're even saved. Buddy, faith will fix that, okay? So how do we have faith? How did Abraham do it? When he was told, when he was nearly 100 years old, that he would have a son, and that son would lead to him becoming a father of many nations. In fact, God put it in such a picture. He said, look at the stars. If you can number those, so will your seed be. He even pictured the sand and said, your seed, your children, your descendants will be like the sand of the sea. Really interesting how Abraham didn't have a bunch of kids. He had one son of promise. Of course, he had two sons. We know that. But one son of promise. So how did Abraham do it? What did he do? If you're still in Romans chapter 4, look at again at verse number 19. How did he do it? Number 19, and not being weak in faith, he considered not his own body. Now just stop right there for just a minute. How did he do it? Number one, he did this. He considered not. He considered not. He considered not his own body now dead. He considered not even the deadness of Sarah's womb. He considered not. He did not consider his limitations. He didn't consider his limitations. 100-year-old man and 100-year-old woman is a physical impossibility to have children. Okay? Now, I mean, we can bring it down a little bit and say maybe some of you that are grandmothers and grandfathers and you're maybe in your 60s or so, okay? You know, some of you would be quite surprised if you went to the doctor thinking you had a stomachache or something like that and all of a sudden found out child number 5 is on the way. Like, oh, wait a minute. My children are like in their 30s and 40s. You know, you'd be quite surprised. Well, imagine Abraham's surprise when he's told by God, oh, by the way, Abraham, you're going to have a son. He was old at the time, and God made him wait till he was nearly 100 years old before he had a son. But here's what Abraham did not do. He didn't consider his limitations. He's a living object lesson that the physically impossible is entirely possible with God. Amen. I mean, you think about, I can't do whatever. Well, can a 100-year-old man have a child? Okay, sure he can. God can do that, of course. Serving God and doing His will for your life will never or should never be halted by your limitations. It should never be. Think about the famous hymn writer, Fanny Crosby. She was blind. Now, if she wanted to kind of wallow in pity and to be fearful all of her life, she may not have written any of those hymns whatsoever. But she decided not to consider her limitations, not being able to see, to try to describe things for us to instill in ways that bring us to tears and stir our hearts up in more reflective faith toward God. Fanny Crosby is another example. Think about Moses also. Who stuttered. He told God, when God said, Moses, I want you to deliver my people. I want you to go out there and bring them out. Moses would tell God, he says, God, I can't do it. Moses was focused on his limitation. Now, I've heard some people say he had a stutter. I'm not sure. Maybe he did. But he had some kind of a speech problem where he says, God, I cannot speak to your people. I've got a problem. Don't you understand? And God's telling Moses, your limitation's not a limitation for me. In fact, your limitation's an opportunity for me to be glorified and you to be used of me. David, you think about David. David was not a trained fighter. David was a shepherd. Now, I still think he had to be strong, but when did David go to combat school to fight a Goliath, a 10-foot tall behemoth of a man who's like a walking tank? When did he go to school to do that? He didn't. He had a limitation. He's a shepherd, okay? He's got a stick in his hands. And when it came time for that lion to attack his sheep, he says, oh, I don't think so. He grabbed that lion by the mane. I don't know what he did. I can imagine all sorts of fun things, okay? I used to watch wrestling as a kid, okay? And I can imagine him just kind of, you know, elbow drop, you know, whatever. I don't know what he did. But it's fun to imagine, okay? Well, a bear tried that. A bear tried that, okay? Y'all got that. All right, okay. Anyway. Yeah, thank you for laughing at that terrible joke. Thank you. But a bear tried that, and he says, no, I don't think so. And he did the same thing again. So the Goliath comes up, and because God had used him before, as Brother Wall said so eloquently this morning, he reflected back on what God had done, and he says, I don't need any training to beat this guy. I have the God of the universe who can handle him, and he'll use my little rock. I got good at this rock. I don't know how to use a sword, but I can sling a stone. And it don't take a rocket science to figure out how to use a sword whenever that man's down on his back, okay? But God used him regardless of his limitations. In fact, these folks did not consider it. Abraham did not consider that he was old. He just said, okay, God, if that's what you want, that's what I'll do. You know, what we call obstacles, Christians, what we say are our problems, that I can't serve God because of this, or I can't give God my best because of this, or I cannot do anything for God. God says, no, that's not an obstacle for me. He calls it an opportunity to show his glory. You know, do you think you're too old to serve God? Consider it not. Do you think you're too young to serve God and do what he called you to do? Consider it not. Don't even consider it. Are you physically handicapped? And there are those of us that God has given us that burden to bear, but are you handicapped? God says, consider it not. That's not an obstacle for me. Oh, I'm not a people person. I can't witness. I'm too shy. Hey, don't consider it. Consider it not. You know, I like to think that Abraham kind of went through a checklist. He's thinking of his life. He's going, well, let's see here. He unrolls his scroll going, okay, here's all the reasons why. This is crazy. God, let's see, I'm old. this child is going to be stronger than I am, but I'm not going to live long enough to even see him go to, I don't know if they had Hebrew high school, maybe they did something. Yeah, I'm not going to live long enough to see my grandchildren. I mean, I am a grandpa now, great grandpa almost, you know. He's got all these things. He's going, look, my knees are weak. I can hardly walk. God, I'm hurting. If this baby goes running off into a buffalo stampede, whatever they were, big animals they had, a sheep stampede, okay, with rams, okay, all right? If this baby goes running off to a stampede of rams, my old legs can't even catch him. God, what's going to happen? He's like, God, my back, I mean, I've got to carry this baby. I mean, maybe he's got all these things, all these reasons why it'll never work. The fact that, of course, well, Sarah is way beyond childbearing stage. I mean, Abraham wasn't a scientist, but I think he knew. There's no childbearing left for us. It's over, buddy. It's way past. But all throughout that list that we're going to pretend he had, all that Abraham did, took a red mark and says, consider it not. Consider it not. That limitation, nope, not that one. I'm not even going to consider that one. The only thing I'm going to consider is God. And you know what great people of faith simply do? They simply narrow down their options. When it comes time to quitting on God, they don't consider that. When it comes time to make a tough decision, you know, they've narrowed all the possibilities down except for one thing. God is able to make this happen. God is able to fix this. God is able to make this work. God is able to provide for me when I cannot provide for myself. It's simply narrowing the options down to saying, God, the only option I have left is you, and I'm depending on you by faith. You know, when we depend on God by faith, 100-year-old people can have babies. We depend on God by faith, human beings can walk on top of water. When we depend on God by faith, things happen that are not supposed to happen, but God can do them anyway. Isn't that amazing? You know, I can remember when we were still in school, my wife had graduated. She squeezed 4 years into four, and I did 4 years into seven. But, you know, so it took a long time. You know, I'm a hard head, okay? So, but praise God, we got through. But I can remember losing my job, and I feel like I lost it unjustly. I was delivering pizzas, and now figure this out. I was able to pay for my wife and I to live, and go, and we did a little bit of schooling, I think, at the time, right, babe? Okay, delivering pizzas. So, I mean, it was good money. Now, I drove quickly to get there, and I was kind and got tips. Man, it was great. But it came to a head when I refused to deliver pizzas to a strip club. They tried to get me to go there, and I says, no, I'm not going to do that. I don't care how much it pays. That's not where I want to go. Oh, you don't have to go in. They'll come outside. I'm like, no. I don't want to be within 100 miles of one of those places and have anybody know I'm there, much less the Lord know I'm there. No way, Jose. And I said, no, I won't do it. Argued with them for about 10, 15 minutes. I wouldn't do it. And they let that breeze over. The manager did it, and I held up the fort down at the pizza shop. And I can remember getting into an accident, and boy, it was a big, long story. But my license ended up getting suspended because I didn't file the proper paperwork. It was my first one ever. I didn't know anything. I was dumb, okay? And so I didn't file right. Lost my license was suspended. Well, my job found out before I did. I didn't even know. I'm driving on a suspended license. I don't even know. And here I am. I get a phone call. Says, Brian, you can't come into work today. Your license has been suspended. We found out about it, and you need to get that taken care of, and then you can come back to work. Okay, Simple enough, right? No. I went and got it fixed. The next day, I'm back at work. They're going, oh, well, we can't let you come back to work. Now you're an insurance liability and yada, yada, yada. They made up a whole lot of crazy stuff. And ultimately, I lost my job through that. And I did everything they told me to do. And I think what it was the owner's son wanted my job. That's what I think happened there. But of course, I went 6 months after that with no job. We had money saved up, so we lived on that. But what happened during that time frame was God continuously provided for me. It wasn't supposed to be possible to feed your family with no job. It wasn't possible. But many times money would be found under our door. I don't know where it came from. God knows. God took care of that. I remember we had a neighbor who would constantly overbuy on food and then after a while say, oh, Brian and Liz, I've got food that's getting ready to go bad. It had like a year on the date, okay? You know, I got food that's going to go bad. You ought to come by here and help me clean out my fridge, of course. And so we would eat, you know. But during that time, I remember I'd work 8 hours a day to find a job because I figured if I wanted a job, I would work. I would look for one as long as I wanted to work one. And that took a long time to come through. But when the right job came along, the right thing, God worked it out just like that. I mean, I walked into the place and I was hired almost immediately. And it was amazing. But the way God does things is he says, listen, I can do that. Hey, you don't have a job? I can feed your family. Hey, you don't have you barely have a means to get around? I got you covered. I can take care of that. Your limitations are not my limitations. Eliminate all the possibilities except for God. And we can make it happen. God can do things that we cannot do. So Abraham considered not. And secondly, he did this. Look at verse number 20 if you're still in Romans 4. Verse number 20. Number two, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. So secondly, he did this. He staggered not. He staggered not. And what did he not stagger at? He did not stagger at the promise. God made a promise to Abraham. He made a covenant promise to Abraham that he would do exactly what he said. We won't get into it all, but you can find it, I believe, in Genesis 15. We won't look at that right now. But God made it, or 15 or 16. But God made a promise to Abraham, a covenant promise, says, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. I'm going to give you a son. I'm going to make you a father of many nations. So after not considering his body, after not even considering Sarah's body, he's saying, God, if you want to do it, I know you can do it. He says, now I'm not going to stagger at the promise. God promised him that son. God promised him he'd be the father of many nations. And his faith and resolve were sorely tested. Abraham waited decades after the promise was given to him. He waited and he waited and he waited and he waited, but God still came through. You know, God said it. And Abraham simply believed it. God said, you said you're going to do it, I will believe it, and it's as good as done. You know, friend, if God promises it, it's as good as done. If God puts a condition on that promise, you meet that condition, it's as good as done. God makes an unconditional promise, buddy, you can take that check to the bank and cash it because it's as good as done. Abraham glorified God, of course, by his faith. In the end, it says he was strong in faith, giving glory to God. In other words, Abraham is going around, maybe he's talking to his friends. He's saying, hey, God's going to give me a son. God's going to give me a son. And he's like, they're like, are you nuts? You're old. You know, you're not going to have a son. He's going, you don't understand. I serve the God of all creation. I serve the God who spoke things into existence. I serve the God who can heal Sarah's womb and restore it and he can make me a father again. You don't understand. I serve the God of all creation. He gave glory to God. In my faith, he says, God made me a promise too. In fact, God made me a covenant promise that he's going to come through for me and I'm going to believe it. God was even lifted up through that whole thing. But God has made you and I promises as well. In his word that we must not stagger at. Think about the promise that he's preparing a place for us. You ever get tired of this world, Christian? You ever get tired of looking at the news and finding out another place was bombed, another shooting happened, another disease is breaking out somewhere else, and all these awful things are happening? You ever get tired of that? Just say, God, are you coming yet? Thy kingdom come quickly. You ever get tired of that? Well, the promise he's preparing a place for us can comfort us and help us. Do we stagger the promise that he is returning? Have we slackened our desire for him? Maybe kind of saying, well, he's not coming right now. I'm going to put it off. Or have we forgotten that he promised he'd do that? Have we staggered at the promise that he said he would give us the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, to walk with us, to talk with us, to show us the Word? Have we staggered at that promise? Have we staggered at the promise that he'll give us the power to do what we cannot do by ourselves? You know what's so important in soul winning too, and this is we'll give us a little side route here, but having God's power with us is the utmost importance. Have we staggered at that promise and just said, God, I'm going to work for you in my own power. God, I'm going to preach in my own power. God, I'm going to serve you in my own power. God, I'm going to teach in my own power. Have we done that? Have we staggered at the promise that he'll be with us to the end of the world? We heard that this morning. And I love how that's said, because like Brother Wall said, that doesn't just mean to the end of time. That means to the end of the world. I can go to Tibet on the tallest mountain somewhere and God's with me there. I can go to the lowest spot, probably somewhere down in New Orleans, Louisiana, you know, and God will be with me there. Have we staggered at that promise? Have we staggered at the promise that we will reap if we faint not in serving the Lord? You know, sometimes we give up and say, God, it's not worth it. Like I said this morning, I was ready to hang in, throw the towel in and say, God, I don't know what you're going to do with my life, but this isn't making any sense. Have we staggered at that promise that God will give us a reaping of a harvest if we'll continue to serve him? You know, there's one promise, especially regarding even faith promise, that have we staggered at the promise that the Bible says he will supply all of our needs? Let's look at that if you want right quick. Let's look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 10. This is important, especially we're talking about faith promise here. This week we're talking about missions. This one's fantastic. Misunderstood oftentimes, but fantastic. Look at Philippians 4, verse number 10. Paul, writing to the Philippians, says this, but I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Notice he says here, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have done well that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Notice verse number 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You know, many times we forget and often can be misunderstood here, but this verse in context of it being used is he's talking to a church that was giving to missions. That was, in fact, if you understand something about this church here, this church is in an area that's extremely poor, that hardly had anything, but yet they still gave by faith. Faith promise, if you will. Okay, that's where that comes from. But he's telling them, very important, you understand, this is a promise here for you, church. My God, Paul says, shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. He's telling him, he says, just Philippians, you've been giving to me, even in your poverty, you've been giving to me. But let me tell you something, God's going to take care of your needs. God's going to supply all your needs. You know, that helps me when I'm giving to missions, even as a missionary. And sometimes the finances aren't exactly like I'd want them. They're a little frightening, if you will. God, you promised. You promised you'd supply all my needs. Well, we can't stagger at that promise. Abraham didn't stagger at the promise that he was given. We can stand. I mean, the Bible's full of promises. And whatever the promises that we need, Christian, we need to understand something, that God can meet that need. We don't need to stagger at that promise. Because if we do, we struggle in our Christian lives much more than we ought to. So Abraham did this. Of course, I'm out of my little passage here, Romans chapter 4. But he considered not, he staggered not, and lastly, thirdly, he did this. He was fully persuaded. He was fully persuaded. Look down again at verse number 21 of Romans chapter 4, if you have your finger back there. The Bible says, and being fully persuaded, Abraham was, that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. He was fully persuaded. Abraham was persuaded that God would perform His perfect will in his life. Abraham was persuaded. He did not allow himself to be convinced by Satan that God wasn't going to come through for him. Sometimes God makes us wait for an answer. You know, the answers from God are yes, no, and wait. Okay? God made him wait for a while, but he says, I'm not going to forget. I'm fully persuaded. It means he didn't think of another option. He says, I'm dead beat on this thing, and I'm going to just wait. God's going to come through. But are we fully persuaded, Christian, that he's able to perform his will in our lives? That he's able to do what he said he would do? Are we fully persuaded that he, as he's promised to use us for his glory, are we persuaded that that is going to happen if we give ourselves to him? Are we fully persuaded that if we support world missions, that the gospel can get to this world in a way that we cannot do by ourselves? Are we fully persuaded that God can do a marvelous work in our lives? Hey, listen, if God chooses to use us, it's marvelous no matter what he does. I mean, the fact that God would just use me is still a wonder even to me. Friend, God can do it. Are we fully persuaded that God can perform in us and make us a vessel fit for his use? Are you fully persuaded today? Listen, do you believe that God can come through? Do you believe that God can work in your life? Do you believe that God can use you to give to world missions? Do you believe that God maybe could even use you as a missionary yourself? God calls us to do one of two things, to go or to sin. Do you believe, or are you fully persuaded that whatever God wants you to do, you can do? I can remember there was a time when God called me to be a missionary, and I remember being excited about it, but immediately afraid. I remember going, God, you want me to do what? I thought I was just going to stay at home, you know, and live my life there, go to church, you know, and whatever. I remember being afraid. But, you know, the more I thought about it, I said, you know, God, especially when we got to Toronto and I saw the need there, it's a need bigger than myself. 6 million souls. Even working with Brother Johnston in that missionary team that we want to form, you know, I'm looking at that and I go, God, physically this is impossible. But I remember thinking to myself and praying, saying, God, if you want us here, I know we can do what you called us to do. It's not based on my ability, because it's not my limitations God's looking at. He's looking at the opportunities to be used. You know, it's not on my promises. It's based on God's promises, or not on man's promises, but on God's promises that we're depending on God. I want you to use us in Toronto. And well, we can be fully, fully persuaded. Let me ask you something, Christian. Are you fully persuaded today? Are you persuaded that God is able? Or have you excluded yourself? In other words, have you kind of crossed off your list of limitations that says, I can't be used of God because of this? Hey, you don't understand my past, Brother Avery. God will never use me. Consider it not. God can use you. Have you said, what about my physical problems? Don't consider it. God can use you no matter what. You don't understand my financial situation. Consider it not. God can use you anyway. Have you marked off all those things? Have you excluded yourself and your limitations from the equation? And are you standing on the plentiful promises of God? Do you know what God's word, all of these promises he's given us? Are you standing on those things? Or are you staggering? And lastly, may I say this, are you fully persuaded that he's able to use you for a special purpose? Are you fully persuaded? Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here, God. Father, we thank you, Lord, that it's not based upon ourselves that we have to consider the work of God. It's not based on my abilities. In fact, if I base your work on my abilities, God, then I'm trusting myself. And whether we're highly talented, God, or whether we're simply just saying, God, I don't know what you could use out of me, but use me. God, will you just honor the faith, God, that we place in you, because we know it's placed in a worthy place. Heavenly Father, just be with us now. Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Pastor.